It's a rare occurrence when there's more than one candidate running for a Multnomah County Circuit Court judge position. For the election coming up on May 19th, there are five candidates, all vying to fill Circuit Court Judge Position 12. We're fortunate to have one of those candidates with us today, Adrian Brown. Adrian's been an assistant U.S. attorney in Oregon for the past 12 years, serving as the department's civil rights coordinator. She's also handled cases involving the state's mental health system, Portland police practices, and disability access. She previously worked for 7 years as a lawyer in the U.S. Air Force, where she served as a counsel for Air Force personnel. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us this morning via Zoom.
Thank you for having me.
Adrian, I mentioned in the intro that in almost every case, a candidate for a circuit court judge position runs unopposed. Why are there several candidates this election for position 12?
Yes, it's an excellent question. And this is a unique opportunity for voters because there was no incumbent that is running. So it was an open seat that came about very, very late December when the incumbent decided that he was going to retire. And he is waiting to retire until after the election. So he didn't put his name in for re-election, and it created an open seat. And there were several interested people who had been working their way through the appointment process, I being one of those persons. And I think we all saw it as an opportunity to seize that just rarely comes around.
Now, can you tell us first a little bit about the responsibilities of the Multnomah County Circuit Court judge? This is a municipal court, and you cover both Portland and Gresham?
Yeah, the entire Multnomah County. So some folks that are not familiar, and lawyers as well, sometimes don't even realize, because judicial elections are so rare, that the circuit court in Multnomah County covers every town, from the West Hills and beyond to, like you said, Gresham and Troutdale and Fairview. So it is the entire Multnomah County that gets an opportunity to vote. It's a nonpartisan race, so no matter what party you're affiliated with, this race will appear on your ballot. And it's one of about 30, I think there's 36 judges. I could be wrong about that in Multnomah County. I haven't checked my stats recently on that, but there are many judges to choose from. But for this race, this will be only one in Multnomah County that will be contested. And what we do is a range of both civil and criminal matters that would come before us. So each judge that sits on the circuit court typically is assigned cases through the presiding judge. And right now that's Stephen Bouchon. And the presiding judge will assign cases based on workload and experience. And, he's not going to assign a new judge right out of the gate, probably a murder trial. But he also is going to, usually, when there can be an ability to select a judge, for instance, in a family matter, that's going to go to a judge that is in the family court docket. So those judges are a bit unique because they specialize in those areas. That's not to say a circuit court judge in the general docket isn't going to get one of those cases, but the juvenile and the family court matters are the only ones that are kind of carved out. Everyone else, it's very much the full range of issues that may appear in our society will come before a circuit court judge.
Now, you're currently in a very important role working in the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Attorney's Office for Oregon. Can you give us an example or two of the civil rights cases you've handled?
Yes, and I have had an extreme honor in working in this capacity. I am very grateful that I have been around a variety of folks in the U.S. Attorney's Office that have been very supportive of this work in our community. And we really bring in the range of issues depending upon what's happening out there to individuals. So we rely a lot on what the community is telling us that they need and desire to have brought forward to the public eye. And that's been everything from, you mentioned a little bit in the opening, looking at how the ADA is implemented, the Americans with Disabilities Act is implemented on the service delivery for people that are in mental health crisis or that need mental health services. And then all the way to looking at the pattern and practices of policing under a different statute that's shorthand is 42 USC 14141, and that's the shorthand. So there's a variety of federal statutes that work to help the most vulnerable members of our community. And those, you know, came about in the great era of the civil rights movement, and they continue to evolve. So even, you know, just, you know, for instance, the ADA was not passed until 1990. And many people see that as a law that has been around, and it has been around for a while. We're getting ready to celebrate the 30th anniversary. And so I think that we often don't realize that this is an ever-evolving issue. Civil rights is something that it wasn't just static during the civil rights movement. It's continued to evolve. And for instance, in the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crimes Act of 2009, for the first time, people who are LGBTQ were finally recognized as a vulnerable class of citizens that was being targeted. And, you know, many people, you know, we shouldn't forget that James Byrd, you know, died a horrific death as a result of his race. And that is also, you know, in that Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crimes Act. But what was different was for the first time that sexual orientation was recognized as something that needed to be sought after in our community to protect the civil rights of individuals, of all individuals that are vulnerable.
I should mention that you were awarded the Justice Department's highest award for attorneys, the John Marshall Award, and that was for a case involving discrimination against Oregonians with developmental disabilities. So you have quite a bit of experience there. And yes. Would there be similar cases that would be brought before the circuit court?
There could, yes, certainly. For instance, I know that housing cases, discrimination in housing is something that we have much more robust protection in Oregon. You know, the Oregon Fair Housing Act covers a wider range of people in protected classes than the Federal Fair Housing Act does. So that's an example. And certainly there is a range of employment discrimination cases that can go on where plaintiffs have been discriminated against based on the range of protected classes covered. So those types of cases, yes, absolutely, civil rights cases come before judges. Now, there can sometimes be a choice of forum where individuals or plaintiffs' attorneys decide that, you know, they might want to bring it in federal court, but there are often times where the case can go either way in state court or federal court.
Now, here's the big question that I'm sure you get asked every single interview. Given your success, especially helping people as an assistant U.S. attorney, why run for the circuit court judge position?
So one of the things that I have found through my work in community engagement is how important the granular level of individuals and the choices and the consequences that they face matters most at the local level. That's where change is made. And in 2017, I realized I wanted to be more involved in my local community. And the way to do that with the experience that I bring to bear was to seek out opportunities where I could be a leader and still make a difference in the local level. And there's a variety of ways that one can be a leader, right? There are amazing advocacy organizations and amazing nonprofits and other agencies. This was an opportunity for me, given that I have worked in every side of the bar, from being a prosecutor to being a criminal defense attorney, working on the civil plaintiff side of enforcement, as well as working in defending civil actions. And I saw this as an opportunity to bring all those skills together and be a leader. And so that is why I'm seeking. I want to make a difference in my community. And I realized at the local level that this is where the heart of it happens.
You also have a personal story I read about, and there was a video on your website about being raised, you and your sister, by a single mother. And a judge apparently played a big part in improving your life at that time. Can you tell
Absolutely.
Us that story?
Yes, yes. So, and this is when we tie everything together and you look at why does a person pursue the things that she pursues, the reason why I have, I think, a lot of interest in public service and interest in helping individuals is because I saw that I witnessed that with my mom. So my mom fought to get child support in the day when it wasn't a mandatory requirement as a part of divorce to have that resolved. After years and years of broken promises from my father, my mom, by the time I was a teenager, finally was able to get into court and just do the fight that it was going to take, because my dad challenged it every step of the way. And by this time, we had probably about at least 10 years, maybe more, of unpaid child support. And a judge in that case, based on the advocacy of the attorney that represented my mother, and then the leadership of the judge, not only awarded child support, but awarded those years of arrears. And it was through a garnishment order. My dad's wages were garnished. That was how we finally got justice. And so that showed me that judicial leaders can make a difference in people's families, and that you have an opportunity to do the right thing for the right reasons, because the judge didn't have to do that. He could have awarded child support going forward, could have ordered just a portion of the years, but he ordered it all the way back, and it made a big difference in the lives of my sister and I, my mother.
And Adrienne, you're now a mom yourself. You mentioned just before
yes.
we started recording, you had peanut butter with your four-year-old today. Has that experience of raising a child yourself influenced your perspective as an attorney and maybe how you'll do your job as a judge?
Yes, absolutely. I came to being a mother very late in life. I didn't have my son until I was 40. And that was a decision that I felt very, very strongly about at that age, because I had given myself an opportunity to have and build a career and be a provider for my child in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do at age 25. And at the same time, I know that I would have had more energy at age 25 as well. So there's the pros and cons of waiting, but I consciously wanted to know that I had roots in my community and a secure foundation to raise my child. And so what it's done for me is it's given me wisdom and patience in ways that I wouldn't have had earlier in life. And now being able to see how a child grows and thinks and develops is life-changing, in the sense that you can forever be enriched by giving back to a child. And when I thought that I wouldn't have any more time to give when I became a mother, I realized I wanted to give more, because I found so much joy in it. And one of the things I've done to continue giving is I am a volunteer for SMART, which is a home-based a nonprofit here out of Oregon, Start Making a Reader Today. And what that program does is go into schools to just read with kids. So you pair as adults with kids, usually kindergarten up to third grade. And the reason why that age is so important is because it's the time when a child learns about the joy of reading, not reading because you have to, not reading because you are trying to learn. You're reading because you're interested in being with people and sitting down. And so I realized that I could give that back, because I had my mom who did that for my sister and I. Even when she was single and raising us, going to grad school, she still made time to read to us at night. That's a very special memory I have. And now I get to do that for my son. And being a SMART volunteer reader, at least until COVID-19, I was doing that twice a month at Boise Elliott School. And I really, really enjoyed. So being able to give back and enriching actually makes you want to do it more. Even though you have less time, you find time.
We've been talking with Adrienne Brown, one of five candidates for Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge Position 12. You can find out more about Adrienne on her website, adrienneforjudge.com. And remember to vote in the upcoming Oregon primary election. You can mail your ballot back by May 14th or bring it to any official ballot drop site by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 19th. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.